Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Good Friday service. If you're a visitor with us, we pray that you'll have an amazing time. And as we come around this morning, we're going to come around communion later on in the service. I'm Steve, and I'm leading you as through the service today. And Martin will be coming and speaking to us later. Let's just start with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for what this day means to each of us as Christians. We thank you that it's the day that we remember that you sacrificed your life for our sins, that you sacrificed yourself so that we may have eternal life. You did it to give us freedom, to set us free. And so, Lord, we just ask now as we come into this service that you would just give us a reverence, a wonder, an acknowledgement of what you did. If we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start off with a very small video clip. Stand and sing together. Man of Sorrows.
Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Now my debt is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the sun sets free, oh, he's free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. And the sun sets free, oh, he's free indeed. Oh, the rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. The stone is rolled away, behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised, he's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Praise and honor unto thee. Praise and honor unto thee.
By our first reading. Today we have our readings are from Mark chapter 15.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached the decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What should I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
They stand and sing again.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. The Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name days. We will sing your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days
So continuing on in Mark's gospel, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Those crucified him also heaped insults on him. Let's pray for Martin as he comes to speak. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray now that as Martin brings what you've given him to speak, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just take it and use it to give us more knowledge about you. If we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The songs that we've sung so far are deliberately big picture. Steve has actually chosen really carefully here, because what I'm going to speak about is the theme of fulfillment of Scripture, that the cross of Christ fulfills the promises of God, not just for forgiveness at the cross, but it fulfills God's plan and purpose for the future too. So thank you, Steve, for giving us the big picture there in those opening songs. The theme of the fulfillment of Scripture is prominent in Mark's account of the crucifixion. We are supposed to notice that multiple prophecies are being fulfilled in Mark's account. And we're supposed to then, in Mark's Gospel, take notice of future prophetic promises that are yet to come to fruition. And so it's this theme of prophetic fulfillment that I want to look at this morning. I don't know if you're aware, but Psalm 22 was written by David over 1,000 years before Jesus appeared. And if you've read Psalm 22 recently, you'll be amazed with me, I'm sure, at the level of detail that David prophesies about the cross there. I'm just going to pick out a few this morning. So Carol's going to try and keep up with me, because these jump around quite quickly. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies from David in great detail. So, for example, even down to the division of Jesus' clothing at the cross was prophesied in Psalm 22:18. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. The insults of the passers-by at the cross was prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 7. All who see me mock me, they hurl insults, shaking their heads. The taunts of those looking on at Jesus to save himself were prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 8. He trusts in the Lord, let the Lord rescue him. The insults of the two robbers crucified with Jesus were prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by his people. Jesus himself quoted the first verse of Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? As he hung there in excruciating pain and facing the horror of the wrath of God on our sin. Unimaginable suffering, psychological, emotional, physical, as Jesus hung there in the darkness. God the Father forsaking him. Mark deliberately wants us to see that everything that is happening in the crucifixion, horrible, evil though it is part of God's preordained plan. There is nothing happening to Jesus that God has not planned and doesn't know about. Jesus himself predicted his own betrayal by Judas, Mark 9:31. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. Jesus even predicted his own arrest and trial. Mark 10, verse 33, they will condemn him to death. Jesus predicted that even his own disciples would abandon him. Mark 14, 27, you will all fall away, Jesus told them. Jesus predicted that he would be put to death and then rise to life again. Mark 8, 31, he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. All the way through Mark's gospel, we see this theme of the fulfillment of prophecy. Everything that's happening to Jesus is happening according to God's preordained plan. Nothing of what's happening to Jesus falls outside of God's sovereign control and plan. The arrest, the trial, the sentencing of Jesus to die, the crucifixion and the resurrection are not under the control of evil human rulers. God does not directly cause these things, as it were, but he stands asymmetrically behind them. Satan is the source, ultimately, but God is over Satan. These events are not two equal and opposite powers vying for victory. Satan is ultimately under God's sovereign control and power. And mysteriously, God allows Satan a certain amount of freedom to inflict evil and cruelty and suffering. One day in heaven, we'll understand, maybe. But on earth, we see as through a dark glass darkly, don't we? These things remain and will remain a mystery. But it was God's plan that Jesus should be the servant who would come to this earth to suffer and to die. This really is the theme of Mark's gospel. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus paid the slavery price for our sin, which is death. Jesus died to release human beings from the slavery of sin. Sin is not loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are cut off from God. We are unable to love him as we should. We are cut off from a relationship with God by our inability to please him and love him. We are born into sin. And Jesus paid the ransom price, the debt of sin, so that we could be set free from the power of sin. We can enjoy in our liberation all the benefits of forgiveness, peace, love, joy, and relationship and fullness of life. On the cross, Jesus absorbed all the pain, all the death, all the suffering, all the evil. And the cross and resurrection remind us that one day Jesus will liberate not just people from slavery to sin, but the whole creation will be set free from the curse that it's currently under. And Jesus prophesied this, that he would come again in victory. Mark 13, 26. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Jesus prophesied that when he comes again, he will gather his own people, elect Christians, to be with him forever, Mark 14, 27. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. You see, God is sovereign and in control. God has a plan and he's working out his plan for the world, despite the evil and suffering and mystery of evil and suffering that we experience day by day. No challenges, no trials, no sufferings, no spiritual attacks in this life are outside of God's control or sovereign will. Hard as that is to accept at times, Jesus tells us that not even a sparrow falls from the sky without God's foreknowledge. God is ultimately sovereign. And so Jesus said, Mark 13, verse 7 and 8, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, which we do, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. We live in a world of birth pains, do we not? A world of suffering, a world of evil. And we experience these birth pains in our own lives. We grieve over the loss of loved ones. We struggle with difficult circumstances. We struggle with disappointment. But just as birth pains result in the joy of a new birth and a new baby, so Jesus, when he comes again in glory, will deliver us into a new creation, a creation set free from the curse of sin and death and evil, where we will live with Jesus in a new heaven and a new earth, set free from death and pain and suffering. God is in control. Whatever you feel, whatever the world says, whatever human rulers and dictators come and go, the Lord sits on the throne and he is in control. Some of the old songs I used to sing at Sunday school come to mind at times like this, but there's an old one that sums up what I want to say beautifully. I know who holds the future and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Jesus, the one who died and rose again, is the one who's coming again in glory to renew the heavens and the earth. And we will be set free from this groaning creation and these groaning bodies. I don't know about you, but I struggle with the randomness, it seems, of suffering. Why that person and not another person? Why does there have to be so much evil and suffering in the world? And I've read a lot of theology around evil and suffering. None of it really answers my questions. But one day I will be with Jesus. One day all suffering will be at an end. And so even though we don't understand, and much of our suffering and the suffering of others remains a mystery to us, and we can't see the bigger picture, we can't see the greater purpose always, God is sovereign. I always like a story, because I remember stories and pictures. I don't know about you, but a story to finish. This is a true story, by the way. A little girl wanted to become a great pianist. But all she could play on the piano was a simple tune, Chopsticks. And she could only play it with lots of missed notes and mistakes. And no matter how hard she tried, that was the best that she could do. Her parents were hothousing parents. And after some time, they arranged for a great piano maestro to teach her to play properly. Of course, the little girl was both delighted and slightly worried by this. But when the little girl and the parents arrived at the piano maestro's mansion for the first lesson, they're escorted by the butler into the parlor, yes, it was posh, where they saw a beautiful concert grand piano. Immediately, the little girl dashed over to the piano and began playing Chopsticks with missed notes and mistakes. Her embarrassed parents started across the room to tell her to stop. But as she played, the piano maestro entered the room and he encouraged the little girl to carry on playing. He then took a seat on the piano bench next to the little girl, listening to her play. And after a moment, he began to play along with her, adding chords, runs, and arpeggios. The little girl continued to play Chopsticks badly, but the parents couldn't believe their ears, for they were hearing a beautiful piano duet played by their daughter and the maestro. He was filling in all the gaps and duff notes with melodies and a beautiful duet. And amazingly enough, they could pick out from this duet the central theme still being Chopsticks. You see, God in his sovereignty uses all the off-key and discordant notes of our lives. All our questions, doubts, fears, struggles, trials. And he weaves them as he sits down to play with us. The Father weaves our mistakes, our struggles, our trials into a beautiful melody. That's the word, isn't it? A beautiful melody. And one day we will sit down in a new heaven and a new earth to play perfectly with the Father, a beautiful symphony. But until then, we play Chopsticks badly, but the Father is playing along with us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we don't understand all of the suffering that we face. Jesus, so much of life is a mystery to us. But Jesus, thank you that you hung there in the darkness to absorb all the pain, all the wrath of God, all the suffering all the evil of this world. Jesus, thank you that your death dealt once and for all with death and sin and guilt and evil. And one day, Jesus, you will come again to renew the heavens and the earth. And so, Father, even though we struggle to understand the randomness of suffering, thank you, Jesus, that you hung and suffered there for us so that we could be renewed and the whole creation will be renewed one day. Father, we do not know what the future holds, but thank you, Father, that you hold the future. Amen. Mark 15:33. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women who were watching from a distance, among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. This hymn that we're about to sing was written especially for the occasion of communion. And in this church, for communion, we will come to you and serve you where you're seated. And we just ask that you're a believer. You don't need to be a member of this church to take communion. You just need to be a Christian who's turned to Jesus, who loves Jesus, follows him and serves him, and have submitted your life to follow him all your days. So if you're not yet in that place of submitting to Jesus and following him, we love having you among us, but please just allow the bread and the wine to go past you. But do reflect on what these symbols mean. Let's stand to sing, "Behold the Lamb."
"Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained death's cup that may we enter it to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of grace around the table of the King. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ and his body here on earth, as we share in his suffering we proclaim Christ will come again, and we'll join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King.
Please be seated. Ask the service to come forward, please. Mark's account of the Last Supper from Mark 14, verse 12. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table, eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go, just as it is written about it. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they're eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And Pauline is going to give thanks for this meal.
Lord Jesus, it is with awe and amazement that we meet here today.
Yes.
We reflect on the fact that you left the glory of heaven to be born as a baby in a squalid stable. Then, as a man, you endured the pain of the nails and the thorns, the mockery of the crowd, and the humiliation of the cross. Even more than this, you suffered the wrath of God on our behalf, for the forgiveness of our sins. As we share these simple elements of bread and wine, we remember the last meal that you shared with your disciples when you instructed them to do this in remembrance of you. So we, as your forgiven friends and followers, remember your body broken for us and your blood that was shed with gratitude and thanks. And we look forward to the day when we will feast with you in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have with you and with one another. Amen.
You'll be served bread and wine, and we will eat the bread as we receive it. And when you receive the wine, we'll just wait and all drink together as a sign of our unity as the body, family of God. After bread and wine, there'll be an opportunity for open prayer, praying for the needs of this fellowship and the worldwide church, remembering the persecuted church today on this Good Friday, people still suffering for the name of Christ today. So be thinking about those prayers as we take bread and wine, and Janine, I think, will come with the microphone for those that want to pray. And if you're on Zoom, please feel free to unmute and pray in that open prayer time. Then Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Thank you. So we drink this with thanksgiving. Please lead us in prayer, thanksgiving, or petition or intercession as the Holy Spirit leads you. Please lead us. And Father, we remember today that you lost your Son on the cross, that you know what it is to grieve the loss of a loved one. Lord, we pray for those today who remember loved ones and who are journeying through grief. Lord, thank you that you are our shepherd and their shepherd. We pray, Lord Jesus, that as the good shepherd, your rod and your staff would comfort all those journeying through the dark valley of grief today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we lift to you all of those who are separated from their loved ones by distance, who are not able to be with those that are close to their hearts. Father, we pray that you will bring the peace that passes all understanding, that you will comfort hearts that are just sorrowful at being separated, that you would bring a sense of your presence to them, and that you would profoundly bring a sense of who you are to all of those who need a touch. Your word tells us to cast all our anxieties upon you because you care for us. Be with all those who are anxious at this time, who are worried about circumstances and situations, and bring your peace like an enfolding, comforting a shawl or a blanket to wrap around their shoulders and to help them know that they are not alone, and that any problem that they have, they can bring to you and lay it at your feet. Thank you for this incredible blessing that you give to us, this incredible privilege of being able to bring our requests to you and know that everything, whether big or small, can be laid at the foot of the cross. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we pray for those who can't access a church. All around the world, Lord, there are Christians whose hearts are breaking for you. And particularly today, Father, we just pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. May they know your presence. May they know of your love. We just pray that you would bless them and reassure them that you will never leave them nor forsake them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we're especially mindful of this Easter time, Lord, because it's such a vulnerable time for your global church, Lord. Often a time when violence and evil is dished out against Christians over the Easter weekend. So, Father, we pray that you'd send your angels to watch over and protect churches in those places that are especially vulnerable to attack. Lord, we just ask that you would enable your people to celebrate this weekend, wherever they are, in peace, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, we pray for what's going on in Trafalgar Square today, yes. For the people who are reenacting your crucifixion.
Yeah.
Lord, we pray for those people watching,
yes.
Pray for any of the police that are watching.
Yeah.
We pray that your Holy Spirit will be upon that,
yeah,
congregation, upon those actors.
Yes.
Oh Lord Jesus, just bless them,
yeah,
as they do these two performances today.
Yes.
Ask it in your precious name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Lord, we remember the promise that by his wounds we are healed. And Jesus, we lift up those who are recovering from operations. We thank you for answered prayer, especially in the life of Paul, and we pray for your continued healing for Paul. But Lord, we pray for his dad, Peter, too, for healing and blessing and recovery, and for Leslie. Thank you that Leslie and Brenda are here today. But Lord, we recognize that they are still recovering, still fragile. And so we ask, Lord, for patience, and for your supernatural healing, together with the natural healing processes of the bones and new parts that have been involved in the surgery, Lord. We just ask that, Lord, you'd watch over them and keep them from harm, and continue to bring your increased mobility and less pain. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we come to the close of this Good Friday service, we remember that it's Friday, but Sundays are coming. Amen.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. see Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Let's stand and sing together. Can we get the last hymn, please, Carol? Thanks.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as it maker bows its head. Curtain gone into dead, a race to life, finish the victory cry. It's the power. The cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. It's the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross.
Amen. It may be Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we've been able to come in reverence and awe and worship you this morning. And so, Lord, as we go out into this weekend, help us to be ready for Sunday. Amen.